Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it has already been just being in the Lord's house. I trust that you've already enjoyed it. Pray that you have already sensed the presence of God in this place as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke and the very last chapter in the last few verses of Luke chapter 24, we're going to be reading verse 44 down to verse 53. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he addresses his disciples before the ascension. Luke chapter 24. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. As I read, you follow right along with me, starting in verse 44. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opening he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for what we've already received in Sunday school and then in just the music of our worship service. But now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture, I believe that you have a message for each one that's here today from this passage of Scripture. I just pray that you might empower the preaching once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The disciples had just witnessed the end of the amazing physical life of Jesus Christ. The end of an amazing physical life of Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh. They would now see him ascend into the sky until the clouds would cut off their visual. They were there with him, and then he would, as you can just envision in your mind, started to rise until the clouds would cut off their sight of him. In Acts, in chapter 1, as the very same writer, Luke, wrote the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So they had a visual of Jesus just ascending into heaven and just disappearing in the clouds. What happened next was something wonderful. What happened next is something that we all can learn from and be excited about. Verse 52. "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." They returned to carry on, to live their lives with great joy. Can I tell you that Jesus, no doubt, would have been very pleased, because that's exactly what he would wanted them to do. When he would depart, he told them in the book of John, chapter 14, if you love me, you rejoice because I go to be with the Father. If you love me, you rejoice. It's what he taught them. And now as they visually saw him ascend and disappear in the clouds, they did just that. They returned to live the rest of their lives, to complete whatever God's call was upon their lives. And they did this with great joy. There are many who want others to mourn and weep over their passing. I was looking, and it's not as popular today, but some hire professional mourners. It is still very common in a lot of other nations around the world. It still happens here in America. They're known as mourologists. If you don't have anybody else who's going to mourn your passing, if you want somebody to mourn, you can hire somebody to do so. They're called mourologists. Many times, the one who dies hires them ahead of time, so there'll be somebody at their funeral, and there'll be somebody mourning their passing, because they feel like that they need somebody to mourn and weep over their passing. People do strange things at memorial services. Now, most of the ones I go through, I'm conducting those, and so there's not a lot of strange things that happen there, but I hear stories of a lot of strange things happen at memorial services. I know there was a woman who was still, while she was still alive, had her tombstone engraved with these words, "I told you I was sick." Yeah. Can I tell you, if we look here in Luke in chapter 24, God had reasons for the disciples to visually see him ascend into heaven. He had reasons for that. These reasons would encourage them to return as they did with great joy. Can I tell you, after I'm gone, it's exactly how I would want my loved ones to respond. It's what I want preached at my funeral. I mentioned Wednesday night, we was preaching on the death of Joshua, and I told him that I was going to preach my funeral service today. It's what I would want preached at my funeral service. And I might even make a copy of it and have it shown at my funeral service. I don't know. I haven't decided for sure or not. I don't know if my wife and girls would honor that wish even if I wanted it done. But that's exactly how I would want people to remember and walk away from my funeral. To get back to your life. Realize that God has a purpose for your life, and you still have a race to run, and do it with great joy. They returned with great joy because, first of all, they saw him ascend alive. They saw him leave this world, leave this physical world. They saw him ascend alive. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. I want you to look there. God has this for every born-again believer. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and this is something that I preach at a lot of funerals, I always present this message in this particular verse, because it is one of great comfort. If you have a loved one that's saved, that has passed, then you have this comfort. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, God likens our physical bodies to a house. It houses your eternal spirit. And when it stops living, when this physical body dies, this house, we leave it. It's our tabernacle. If it were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In verse 8 it says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If you have a loved one that is no longer here, and you know that loved one had received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, can I tell you, you can rejoice with this thought, they're alive. They're actually experiencing life at a higher level than they've ever experienced it before. They're experiencing living a life, a spirit, meeting with and in the presence of an almighty God without having any kind of a sin nature, without having to worry about any of the problems that we worry about in this present physical world. There is no more pain. There is no more suffering. Heaven holds a healing for every believer in heaven. We find that it's a glorious thought to know he's alive. He's alive. In verse 14, in that very same chapter, this is what Paul writes concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and them seeing him ascend, and then they return with great joy. He says in verse 14 here, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We didn't have this hope. You see, before Jesus came, if he had not have come, we would have died twice. We would have died a physical death, and then we would have died an eternal death, and that we would have gone into a place of eternal damnation. A far worse death than a physical death. But because Jesus did come and he died for us, the Bible says, he died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. As long as we're living in this physical life, then we live for Christ, is what he says. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. We've seen him. He lived a physical life for some 33 years. And he gave us an example of how to follow after him, how to live a physical life. But he said, we know him no longer after he died physically, we don't know him as a man anymore, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We don't know him as a physical man anymore because he is God. He was God living in a physical body. And when he died, he resurrected, and he will never be a man again. He will never live in a limited body again. Amen. He has everlasting, he has an eternal, he is an almighty God, and he has given to us life. So when this physical body dies, we have life more abundantly. We have an eternal life. We will never experience death. We go from physical life to spiritual life. For an eternity. We will be known as we were known. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. You say, well, will I know the person that I had a relationship in this world, in this life? Will I know them in my eternal life? Will I know them in heaven? Yes, you will. Because it's the same spirit. The very same spirit that each and every one of us have in our physical bodies is the very same spirit that's going to live an eternity in heaven. It's just a different body. But the same person, the very same, who you are is who you are inwardly. Who you are is who you are spiritually. This physical body is a house that houses your spirit. God has a purpose for this physical human kingdom, and he's working his will in this human kingdom. But the rejoicing part of it is for all that receive Jesus Christ, To be absent from this physical body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, and he just gives us a little bit here and there to understand what it's going to be like. We cannot comprehend fully what heaven's going to be like, but we know it's going to far exceed our greatest expectations. And here in chapter 13 of the book of 1 Corinthians, in verse 12, it says this, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Even as also I am known. In this life, whatever we are known for, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandparents, your cousins, your friends, your church, whoever, whatever you know, in heaven, you will continue to understand that person and know that person as they were known on earth. But it's going to be so much better. When they seen Jesus Christ ascend and they understood him to be alive, knowing him to be alive, allowed them to return with great joy. I love the song we sing in our songbooks on page 33, He Lives. Listen to the words. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. When you understand that Jesus Christ ascended alive, and because he ascended alive, he lives, ever living to make intercession for us. He lives sitting on the right hand of God the Father. All of those in whom we have loved that are in Christ, that are no longer here with us, listen to me this morning, they live. They're in the presence of God. I believe that they're in that heavenly choir, if you will, that heavenly grandstand, and they're cheering on the work of Christ on earth today. So great a cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. They are witnessing what has taken place on earth today, encouraging and shouting out for God's will to be done. When you understand that, when you see that, no matter who it is that have passed off the scene, you can leave that funeral rejoicing because you know they live. They live. Amen. They returned to carry on the work that God had them to do with great joy. They returned with great joy because the second thing is they had a better understanding of his life. They looked over. They had all the memories of everything that he ever said to them. One of the things that I encourage people to realize when you have loved ones that pass, they still live on within you. I still hear the voice of my dad. I still hear the voice of my mom when I want to. I choose to remember, and it's in my memory banks. I remember some special times that I had with some of my brothers that have gone on to glory, some of my sisters that have gone on to glory, my loved ones, church family. Anytime I want to think about their life, I can rejoice because I can remember their life. They had a better understanding of his life, able to put things in perspective. Luke in chapter 24, we find that this is what they told him. He told them this before he ascended. In verse 44, he said this, and said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you." Remember just what I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. That which you have with you, the very words of God, I fulfilled that. And now that I am gone, you'll go back and remember me and everything I taught you, and you'll remember the scriptures, and you can rejoice over having a better understanding. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, the plan and the purpose of God. Able to put things into perspective concerning his coming, concerning his sacrifices, concerning his commission. Knowing why he came now. Understanding it was fulfillment of the prophecies. Knowing exactly how he lived in front of them so that they would have an example on how to live the rest of their lives. Knowing that he gave them purpose for life and that they had a commission. I would trust that when I'm gone, some of the messages I've preached that God has used to speak to you, you'll remember them. Not necessarily remembering me as much as the messages that God brought to you through the church that he planted you in. The teachings that you received from Sunday school. The teachers that had been a part of helping you to understand the truths of God from the very early years on through high school years and on and beyond that. What a blessing it is to know that the staff at this church came through this church. If not all the staff and their wives, one or the other was raised in this church and met their spouses. I believe the only one would be Andy. Sheree met him at Bible college. The rest of them raised in the church. Hallie McGath raised in the church and met Buddy Himes at Bible college. They got married. Now they're serving here. And because of this church and the remembrance of every class and how that they prepared them to do the Lord's work. And you think of that Sunday school teacher that might not be here any longer, but you remember the work that they did and you can rejoice as you continue the work saying, I know how it impacted my life. I want God to use me to impact somebody else's life that way. Amen. Yeah. The music here, Buddy would tell you, praise the Lord, because now I can remember how God has brought it to this place, and I want to carry it on. I want to take it to another level, if you will. The youth ministry here, Brother Rusty would say, yeah, I remember what has taken place. I was here in the youth. I seen the different ones coming through that helped me to grow into the man that I am today, and I want to continue to be used of God to see this continue to go forward. The remembering the life of that individual gave them more of a purpose for their lives, especially Jesus Christ. And they could return to do the work with greater joy. With greater joy. Yeah. They had a better understanding. The third thing, they returned with a great joy because they knew that if he was alive when he left, he would return as he said. Look with me at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And Luke, in writing the book of Luke, he's also used of God to write the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Verse 10, it says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are two angels that God had there to encourage them, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He's already gone. He's disappeared in the clouds. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into the heavens. Now get back, get on about the work that he's called you to do, and rejoice in knowing that at some point, he's coming back. He told them that in John chapter 14, that he would return. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Can I tell you that your loved one that died in Christ, they're alive. You can rejoice over that. You can rejoice over how their life impacted your life. You can rejoice over having a better understanding of the purpose of that life. And then in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, the Bible tells us something here that will bring us even greater joy concerning them. Is they're going to be brought back with Christ. They're alive today, and it will not be much longer, and you'll be able to see them again. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means that the spirit, since they're already with Christ, they're coming back with Christ, and then the body that died, he's going to resurrect a glorified body, and they're going to receive that glorified body in the air at the very same time that we which still are alive and remain shall be caught up, and instantaneously we're going to receive that glorified body, and we're going to meet with the Lord Jesus in the air. Not only will we meet with him, we will meet with all of those that have gone on before us, and we will all have glorified bodies, and what a reunion that's going to be. The thought of that reunion ought to cause you to continue to serve with great joy. I serve today, and I'm thinking, I'm looking forward to that day, and I know it's going to be soon. And whenever that might be, I want to carry on the work that God's called me to do until that day, looking forward to that day, and I'm going to see my dad again. I want to see my mom. I want to see my brothers and my sisters. I want to see church members. I'm going to see loved ones that have gone on before me who are still alive, and I'm looking forward to that day when I will see them again in a glorified body in the midst of Christ. What a day that'll be. Is that not something that ought to bring a smile to your face? Is that not something that ought to encourage you to go back and to continue to serving God with whatever time you have left, and you can do it with great joy? Great joy. Because of the truths that God has revealed to us from Scripture. Yeah. They saw him ascend alive. He's alive. They had a better understanding because they were able to put his life into perspective. They knew that he would return. There's one other thing that they did that continued to bring them great joy. Go back with me and we're going to close here. Luke in chapter 24. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And then verse 53. And were continually in the temple with all of this information, with all of this knowledge, praising and blessing God. They returned with great joy because before Jesus left, he established a support system for all those who would believe in him and receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. It's called the church. And the church is vital concerning your walk with God, because you have to find the church in order to be baptized. You have to be saved. You can get saved without being a member of the church. You can't be a member of the church until you are saved. But you can get saved from reading a tract that was left on your door, as we have witnessed many do that. As we pass out tracts, and we find out later, they said, you know, I just looked on the door and there was a tract. I read it and I come under conviction, I receive Jesus as my Savior. Other times, there's somebody knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and I talked to them, and they led me to Christ. I heard the message. Somebody said they wanted me to listen to a message, and so they sent me a CD or a DVD of the message, and I listened to the message, and I come under conviction, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. However it might have been that you got saved, once you get saved, then it's the Spirit of God is going to lead you to the church so you can be baptized. That is, publicly identify with your Savior and become part of the work that he established called the church. They could rejoice and they could continue living for Christ and doing the work that he called them to do with great joy because he had established a support system known as the church. You don't have joy? What's your relationship with the church? You don't seem to have purpose for life? What's your relationship with the church? God plants you in the church so that you can use those talents and spiritual gifts to serve him. And collectively as a church that we might be able to reach the world with the gospel. We might be able to pick up the bus children here in our own area. We might be able to have ministries that would make a difference in people's lives. Yes, the church has a purpose, and God has established the church to accomplish a great task. But in the midst of accomplishing the great task, it will bring joy to every church member that is serving God in their place. It's a support system. As they chose to take advantage of it, they would find themselves praising and blessing God. Every believer needs the help that God provides through his church. Every Saturday night I'm here. This is my prayer closet at the church. And I prepare myself to be used. The way I do that is I go over the membership list. I try to put myself in every home on our membership list. And I ask God, help me to know what to pray for this family here. And whatever is that God reveals to me, whatever is on my mind, then I pray for their church family and I ask God to work in their lives. Then I ask God to direct each one to the church because it's through the church that they're going to find help. It's through the assembling of ourselves together that you're going to find the help and just the encouragement of the assembly. It's through the singing of praises through our congregational singing that's going to do something for you, whether you realize it or not. Just being in an atmosphere like is that we have in the church when we're singing congregational songs, that will do something to your spirit. That is an encouragement. We just do not sing congregational music just to be able to get by and to pass the time. No, there is a purpose for that. And as we together sing together some of the songs and the messages of song and that we have in our songbooks, it will impact your heart and your mind and your spirit, and it will bring an opportunity to rejoice. When you hear the special music, it's not there to entertain, as you've heard me say many a times. We do not look to entertain. We look to minister. Anybody that stands on this platform is up here to minister to those who God has sent and who come through the doors of this church. And if you are listening to the message of the song, and praise God that they, many of them, if not all of them, have great voices and they can sing and it's pleasant to the ear. But more than that, the message of that song is ministering to our spirit and we are rejoicing. And it's helping you to be prepared to return to wherever you return to and serve him with great joy. Amen. If you're missing out on what God has prepared, if you're missing out on God's design, you're not going to continue to serve him with great joy. It was designed by God that the disciples would visually, physically see him ascend. And we can too. Through their eyes, through what was written down, we can see him alive, ascending into heaven. Can I tell you, you might have had a loved one die recently or sometime, and you're having a hard time dealing with it. If they're saved, listen to me, you need to be able to see them where they're at today. See them alive and in the presence of an almighty God. And that'll bring great blessings to your life. And it will help you and encourage you to serve God, to run the race that he has for you to run with great joy. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute. Think about what you've received here today. Do you know that there have been a time in your life when you realized you needed Jesus as your Savior? And you, by your own free will, acknowledged to God that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, that you were in need of a Savior. And can you remember when you called upon the name of the Lord to save you? If you can't remember that, if you don't have that experience, you need to come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and show you exactly what the Bible says you must do to be saved. And you're saved by fact and not feelings. If you do what God says a person must do to be saved, then based on the words of a God who cannot lie, you can have salvation. Do you really have the right view of those loved ones that have gone on to glory? You can. And when you do, you can serve God with great joy. Father, we bow before you now. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for this message that you've given to us and that Jesus Christ wanted his disciples to view. And Lord, I pray that we could also view that very same thing through their eyes, but know that it's reality. If there's anyone here that is not saved, I pray, God, that right now they would come to this altar and make this day the day of salvation. If there's some here today that know they're saved and not been biblically baptized, I pray, God, that you would help them to want to identify with you through believer's baptism. Possibly those that are living in sin that need to confess and forsake, I pray that they'd be willing to do that. Whatever it might be, God, just speak to each one and then strengthen them to make whatever decisions that you'd have them to make today. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name.